Thank God it's Free Range. You are listening to Free Range Radio Friday with your host, Michael Elves. Pour yourself a beverage and turn up the volume, because here on 101.5 UMFM, the weekend starts now.
UMFM. This is Thank God It's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. I'm Michael Elves, and kicking things off for us tonight, the late, great Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, with One Step Ahead. One of my all-time favorite songs, not just one of my all-time favorite Aretha Franklin songs, but just favorite songs, period. That was sampled on Mos Def's Miss Fat Booty record, and is a great song in its own right, and a really great rework on the Mos Def album as well. Franklin passing away at age 76 earlier this week, but she leaves quite a legacy of music. If you're a fan, definitely check out the Punks and Parkas episode from last night that DJ Penny Lane did. The podcast is up on UMFM's website, and her tribute to Aretha. Coming up on this show, we're going to be talking to former Dauphinite Hudsey, who is in town playing a show, Station 8, on August 24th. That's next Friday. But before we get to that interview, we're going to play another of my all-time favorite songs, but this is a cover of it. This is Reuben in the Dark's cover of The Hips' Bob Cajun. Reuben in the Dark going to be playing the West End Cultural Center on October 27th. That show brought to you by the Folk Fest. Tickets are $20.50 plus fees and are available at Ticketfly, the West End, the Folk Festival office. Strongly encourage you to get a chance to check this band out. After Reuben in the Dark, we've got a new single from Emma Ruth Rundle. Rundle is now based in Louisville, Kentucky, originally from L.A. She has a new single I'm quite taken with this week called Dark Horse. Stick around here on 101.5 UMFM.
I left your house this morning at a quarter after nine. Could have been the Willie Nelson, and could have been the wine. When I left your house this morning, just a little after nine, it was in Bob Cage. I saw the constellations reveal themselves one star at a time. Drove back to town this morning with working on my mind. I thought I may be quitting, thought of leaving it behind. Went back to bed this morning, and as I'm pulling down the blind, yeah, the sky was dull and hypothetical, and falling one cloud at a time. Well, that night in Toronto with its checkerboard floors, and we were riding horseback and keeping the order restored, until the men they couldn't hear stepped to the mic and said, and their voice
All right, well, back in town and playing at Station 8 on August 24th, Hudsy joins us by phone right now. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So when I say back in town, you've been living in the UK for about 4 years, is that correct?
Yeah. I currently live in London.
Now, as I understand it, you kind of decided to pack up and hit the road about 4 years ago after a diagnosis of MS.
Yeah, I was I was in the office getting kind of diagnosed, and I was already looking at possibly going to the UK to pursue music, but the doctor was like, you don't have to do that anymore if you want to kind of be close to family. But I felt as though with the trouble with MS is you don't know how it's going to affect you and how long it will take to affect you. So I felt like the need that I needed to move, and because this is kind of a dream of mine, and it's really important to kind of search for joy kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hopped a plane pretty quickly after that, because I wanted to just, try to live as much as I can. And it's been going great, and the treatment and whatnot for MS over there is unbelievable. So I'm doing extremely well, but I just kind of have it in the back of my mind of you don't know how it's going to affect you, so just live to the fullest as you can while you can.
So how long prior to this had you been considering going to London, and what was kind of the precipitating sort of urge to go?
Well, originally, I wanted to be in the States, in Nashville, because the music scene down there is amazing, but at the time it was really tough to immigrate to America. But and so I was looking at what I thought at the time was the next best thing was England, because there's a lot of big cities, there's a huge music scene, and it's quite thriving and stuff like that. So that was kind of the biggest thing, was I was like, okay, well, let's try this. And then I got there, and it's better than I thought it would be. It's there's lots going on. There's lots of opportunities and to play and to meet people and things like that. And there's lots of really cool venues that have a lot of history. And that was kind of the fuel behind it, was just, I don't know, the UK is just, because it's such a small island, it's you can fit 4 UKs in Manitoba.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard to get from place to place to see and play in new places and things like that. But most of what I play is in London, but mm-hmm. London's pretty amazing.
So you grew up in Dauphin.
Yeah.
And so I have to imagine sort of the natural inclination towards country and then going to Nashville, comes from the fact that there's a country fest and you were probably steeped in country music at that point.
Well, it's funny because my whole life I kind of ran away from country, and what got me into country as of recently was going to the UK, because they don't have a lot of country on the radio there. You never hear country there, and it made me a little homesick. I liked country growing up, but I was more of a rock guy, and then I got to the UK, and you never hear country, and you just kind of feel that void, growing up in a small town, and you miss hearing a little bit of a twang every once in a while. So I started listening to it way more, and I started listening to Alabama and Keith Urban and Brad Paisley and stuff like that. And it just kind of took me back home when I felt homesick. And so I wrote a couple country songs and things like that.
So if the inclination or kind of passion for country music wasn't there till you sort of got homesick, what was it about Nashville originally then?
Music, because Nashville's not just country, it's just music in general. Any place like that, that's Music City. People of all genres, all styles go there. So even though country is a predominant style there, all styles of music at the time were, I was talking to people. I also wanted to go to LA. I actually went down to California for a month to play there in 2013. And I met some really cool people. I met Jimmy Messina from Buffalo Springfield and had a chat with him in his studio. And I either wanted to be in Nashville or L.A. At the time. But it was basically just where I could get, because I, being a str- struggling musician. I needed a job first, and I needed to get a visa to get there. And that was the trouble, was just trying to get down to the States.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I ended up going to England instead. Because it was like, you know, it was a little bit easier to get there because they're a Commonwealth.
Mm-hmm.
We're a Commonwealth. And like I said, their music scene was pretty amazing. I was just trying to do a bunch of research and seeing where I wanted to go. I definitely wanted to see the world somewhere else from a different perspective. That was something that I wanted to do.
Now, I know that the singer-songwriter scene in the UK is a very big thing, but in terms of like country music then, like, is there a community of country musicians, or like, did you find yourself
I've got like a little bit of a mutt of a style. So I'm not all country, but like I am a little bit more of a singer, like I'm a singer-songwriter, but there is like a growing country scene there. But London is just more like music. It's not just one style. You'll see every style there just because it's so huge and there's so many different people there. And yeah, like Nashville has a country to country festival there. And there's a few country music festivals, and you know, people like bigger artists like Dolly Parton is playing at Glastonbury and stuff like that. So the country music scene is growing there, but it's more just London has a lot of different styles of music. So it doesn't really matter what kind of style you are there, just as long as the songs are there. If you have a good song, you're going to be accepted, which is kind of how Nashville is too. It's all about the songs.
So then, as a songwriter, what have you learned from kind of being immersed in that atmosphere? Like, has that influenced sort of the way you approach songwriting, or is it kind of the results of your songwriting?
My songwriting is heavily affected by just experiences, like personal experiences. Like, the single I'm about to release, My Love, was my girlfriend suffers from mental health condition, bipolar disorder. And when I write it, I kind of basically, it just all comes out, all the feelings, and then I just try to put it into words and perspective, and it's a healing process for me too. And sometimes it's just that's basically what affects my songwriting. So like the place where I am, well, what I'm trying to say is the place where I am doesn't seem to affect my songwriting too much, more so than just my experiences personally have been affecting my songwriting. I've written two country songs since I've gotten to London, and they're like, I know a few country artists there, but I'm not really getting affected that way. London's really, really great for street performing though. You meet a lot of people, songwriters on the street playing on the and busking in Piccadilly Circus and things like that, and it's really cool to that kind of affects my songwriting because you meet all those people.
So when you say you meet those people and it affects your songwriting, like, are you just from talking to them and gaining the experience of talking to them, or are you kind of collaborating with these people? Or
collaboration, I don't do a lot of collaboration, but like just you'll see them perform in a certain way. And you'd be like, oh, that's kind of a cool technique. That's a cool trick. And, like, you kind of put it in your back pocket for later when you're writing. Not, like, words. You don't, like, steal things. But just, like, inflections and different ways of singing and different ways of playing guitar and things like that. And looping and things like that. Different styles of rhythm. That kind of affects my songwriting for sure.
Some sort of sonic ideas that you hadn't considered.
Yeah, sonic ideas. That's the perfect word. Awesome.
So one of the things with your MS condition is the like sort of relapsing, remitting nature of it means you get, you know, numbness in your hands or things like that. How does that impact either like recording or performing as an artist? Like the kind of unpredictable nature of this disease.
When I was early diagnosed, it affected quite a bit because I was having severe relapses. So I couldn't feel my hands, and there was numbness. And I was actually, I didn't, because at the time, I didn't know what was going on, like before I was diagnosed. And I was playing a lot. I was playing a lot of shows. I was actually strumming my guitar so hard because I couldn't feel how my hand was moving that, like, my fingers would start to bleed. So I still have blood on my guitar and stuff like that from a long time ago, which I think is kind of like a badge of honor a little bit. You play your guitar that aggressively. But that was what was happening. Since moving to the UK, like, I was having some relapses at the beginning, but because of their healthcare system and the medication that they have available, like, my relapses have gone down significantly. I have very, very mild relapses, so it's not affected me in a bad, bad way in a long time. So I'm very, very grateful to the National Health Service in the United Kingdom, because they're phenomenal. I have my neurologist, Dr. Silber, and my MS nurse, Monica Davoli, are just unbelievable people. And so I've been able, because of that, I've been able to perform and write and do all the things that I love so far for hopefully a lot longer. Yeah.
Right. So the My Love song, you mentioned that, you know, you'd written it in response to your girlfriend's mental health issues. When did you release the single?
I haven't released it yet.
Oh, it's to be released. Okay.
To be released.
So the lyric video is up, though.
That was like an old, like, that's an old, like, acoustic version of it.
Okay.
I'm going to be releasing the actual song. That was a long time ago. I forgot that was even up, so thanks. So, like, that's more of an idea of the song. I'm releasing the single that was mastered at Abbey Road and helped and produced by Kieran Fitzpatrick on September 10th.
So the version that was up is not the one that was recorded in the pub from the 1700s?
Oh, no. I'm going to be releasing that September 10th. I'm going to release it on the same day as Suicide Prevention Month, and hopefully it not only gets heard, but it, you know, raises some awareness as well, because it's a kind of an issue near and dear to my heart. So,
mm-hmm. Do you have other material kind of in the offing, like ready to be released after this? Or
yeah, I've got a country song called Tennessee that's going to be released hopefully in October. We're finishing that up right now, and we're going to be getting that mastered at Abbey Road as well. And then I've got two other songs. So I'm kind of doing a song, like, I'm doing one song at a time until I have about five songs, and then I'm releasing them as an EP. So I'm not the first artist to do that.
No.
But I kind of like the way that works. It's like, it's constant. It feels like more of a connection. It just suits me a little bit more.
It's your pace?
Yeah. Like, well, I like just getting stuff out there. Like, instead of, like, waiting until you have a collection of music, you just, like, here's my song, and then it adds up to a collection eventually. So,
well, we'll be able to hear some of that collection at the show on the 24th, I'm gathering.
Yeah, you'll definitely hear it. You'll definitely hear those songs. Which also, we're going to be doing a little fundraising for the MS Society at that show. So 20% of the door and 20% of all the merch sold that day is going to go to the MS Society in Winnipeg and Manitoba. And there's also on the Facebook page, there's a link to donate more. And there's going to be opportunities to donate more at the show to the MS Society. So I'm excited to kind of give back to them, because they were super... I don't know. They were just so nice and helpful when I was first diagnosed. Because when you get news like that, you really don't know what to do, or who to talk to, or because it's even doctors, unless they have a specialty in MS, they don't really know what to tell you. I don't know how many times I was speaking to a doctor and they were Googling things in front of me, and that's normal. But it's just the MS Society answers for a lot of questions and were very comforting and helpful. So I wanted to do something for them while I was here.
And you said that's off of the Facebook page?
Yeah, on the Facebook page.
Perfect. And Hudson
and
Music?
It's also on the Eventsy, where you can buy tickets online. There's a link there, I believe, as well.
And all those links are off of HudsonMusic.com, your website?
HudsonMusic.com has a link to the ticket in the gigs page where you can get tickets for the event, and it also has a link in the gigs page to the Emma Society to donate.
And that gig is August 24th at Station 8.
Yeah, Station 8.
We're going to give a listen to My Love, the unreleased version.
Yep.
Perfect. Well, thanks for taking some time out of your day to talk.
Thanks so much for having me. I really do appreciate it.
You're gone again, even though you're here. That's okay. It's hard, I know. Sincerely, the words are rare, the thoughts are bleak, but I know you're there underneath this disease. It's not your fault, I say to you, you don't believe, but it's true. You're fighting this all alone, but I've been with you all along. I reach out with my words, your disease blocks them with its curse, but I won't give up. Because I'm yours. I know it's hard to fight through the dark, and I know it's hard to smile without a spark. Can't imagine the pain, I can't decipher the way to help you when it seems to rain every single day. But all I can give is what you'll get, even when it's rough, it's always yours. My love, my love. My love, the dawn is near, but not ours. We'll fight another day to be in each other's arms, whether you know or not. I'm here, fighting to be with you always. My dear, it won't take away. It won't see the day, it won't take us down. We're just too great for each other in a world where fate is fate. You're not alone anymore, for goodness sake. Cause unlike us, only dawn's heart made to break. You are what I want. Together from dusk forever wrong.
Print to thrive. of an ocean, blue pine breaking. Unless we forget all of our regrets, I'm riddled with you. Deeply to exalt you, darling, I do. If I shift the main, you compensate, but I can't prepare with love. Never say never, I'm down forever. It's just a shame because there's something about you.
Thank God it's Free Range, brand new single from Muramasa. That is Complicated. Before that, a pair of really kind of like shimmery pop, psych pop tracks from Somersault, a song called Heart in My Car, and the Babe Rainbow's Supermoon starting things off. We're going to slow it down a little bit. I got some really beautiful sort of folky numbers coming up for you. Adrian Lenker has an album called Abyss Kiss coming out, and the first single is Cradle. And then there's a new EP from Iron and Wine, Sam Beam. It's called Weed Garden. It's going to be out towards the end of summer. But one of the songs on it is something he's been playing for about the last 4 or 5 years on live tours. So you may recognize it if you managed to catch Iron and Wine when he played, I think it was the Centennial Concert Hall or maybe one of those old theaters. But this is Waves of Galveston coming up after Adrian Lenker here on 101.5 UMFM.
Cradle more. Time lovers awoke near the dawn, maybe someday I will write a true song about a young morning time lover in me. You were a stranger when nothing was pretty. You sang of devils who played with your mind. When I first saw you, you put on a sad smile. Till your beauty touched me, these streets were not mine. Longing was matched by someone who loved me. I sat down yesterday, wrote a new song. This is to you, my sweet morning time lover. Morning time lovers awoke me.
All the dreams you once held close. different words you chose for me now. Everything you love will one day slowly decompose in an earthen.
the barriers. I almost had the sense. On fire, I knew you there. Sharpened an awareness to a point that has effect. The light switched on where the lines intersect. Flowing at every angle, everywhere at once. On fire, I knew you there.
Thank you. stay till the last drop of rye, and the snow was falling from the sky. The sun was on the rise, and I thought I saw love in your eyes. The bed in your room, a single size, perfect for our arms intertwined. My shirt on the floor with your Levi's, and I thought I saw love. Supermarket.
Time.